Last one is doing hands to toes rocking in supine. Let me break this down for you. Supine means laying on your back. So your infant, your baby, or your toddler, your child is going to be laying on their back. And you are going to help them bring their hands to their toes and rock them side to side. Now, this is a slow and controlled, not fast, just nice and easy.
I'm Rachel.
And I'm Jessica. And this is All Things Sensory by Harkla.
We are both certified occupational therapy assistants. And together with Harkla, we are on a mission to empower parents, therapists, and educators to help raise confident and strong children of all abilities.
On this podcast, we chat about all things sensory, diving into special needs, occupational therapy, parenting, self-care, overall health and wellness, and so much more.
We are here to provide raw, honest, and fun strategies, ideas, and information for parents, therapists, and educators, as well as other professionals to implement into daily life.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey everyone, we want to take a quick second to let you know about our upcoming sale on all of our digital products here at Harkla. Starting on December 15th and ending on December 23rd, you can take advantage of our digital products being on sale 25% off.
Holy cow!
Whoa,
that's a pretty good discount. If I do say so myself. The link to get this discount is in the show notes, but really quickly, we are so excited to share these digital courses because we believe in them so much. We believe that they can be so helpful, whether you're a therapist or a parent or a teacher. We have a digital course on primitive reflexes, sensory diets, improving focus and behavior in the classroom, and infant and toddler sensory development. So no matter where you are, what stage your child is in, we have a digital course that'll fit your needs for where you're at right now.
I just wanted to share this quick testimonial that we got. It says, I absolutely love both your courses that I purchased, your prices and your sales, your format, and all of your clear and easy to follow handouts. I love the unlimited access, both as a parent and an OT in private practice. Thank you for all of that. Yay, you're welcome. So take advantage of this sale. Check out our digital courses on sale. They are 25% off, and everything you need to know will be linked in our show notes. Hey everyone, welcome back to All Things Sensory by Harkla. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Jessica. And we're so happy you're here.
Yahoo! Thanks for tuning in to another episode.
Today we are going to talk about developmental milestones and primitive reflexes in infancy. Now, we have several podcast episodes on primitive reflexes and several episodes on infants and different, you know, crawling and tummy time products for infants. So make sure you check those episodes out. But what we realized was that we don't have an episode on how primitive reflexes in infancy are directly connected to developmental milestones.
So most of us are familiar with developmental milestones. We're not going to list out specific ones here today because that's a long list, but we are going to talk about them in relation to a few specific primitive reflexes. Now, a quick side note here, we do realize that the CDC did change the developmental milestones, and we are not in agreement with those changes.
We don't agree.
So if you are referring to the current CDC milestones, throw them away and look at some other options. We will link some milestone guides in the show notes with ones that we found and we do like. We use those in our infant and toddler sensory development course. So just a quick side note, things are changing and not necessarily for the better.
Are we going to get canceled for disagreeing with the CDC?
Moving on.
All right. Anyways, now if we could have it our way, primitive reflexes would be just as important as developmental milestones at your pediatrician's office. You know how you get that checklist when you go to the pediatrician and you look through it or you mark it off or you talk with your pediatrician about, yes, my child's doing this or no, they're not doing this. Well, there should be a checklist for primitive reflexes as well. They should go hand in hand.
Yes. And it would be ideal if your pediatrician was testing these reflexes at every checkup to make sure that they are there, to make sure they are integrating and flowing in the appropriate order of operations. I actually did a presentation at a pediatric office teaching them about primitive reflexes because they didn't know about them and they were interested. So it's a step in the right direction, but there's still so much education that has to happen, especially in mainstream medical offices. Like, it's just, there's a long way. So thank you for being here and listening to us on our soapbox. But let's talk about what comes first, developmental milestones or primitive reflexes.
I think they're simultaneous.
I think so.
Right? As primitive reflexes integrate in infancy.
Well, now that I'm thinking about it, I think primitive reflexes because they do develop in utero. So I think technically
they come first.
Integration of them and developmental milestones, those definitely go hand in hand.
Yes, because as those primitive reflexes integrate, developmental milestones are simultaneously hit.
Yes.
And we'll talk about that here in just a minute. But that is a good point. Many primitive reflexes develop in utero, mm-hmm. not all of them, mm-hmm. but many do. So those do technically come first.
Yeah. But what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Do the developmental milestones get hit that causes the reflexes to integrate? Or do the reflexes cause the child to meet certain milestones?
Mm. That's question.
Deep. Okay. We'll come back to that later.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about some specific ones. So when your infant looks like they're doing the dab while they're laying on their back, the dab, right? Or that fencing position, yes. right? That's actually the ATNR. So what happens is your infant is starting to intentionally look at things in their environment and it causes a reaction with the arms and the legs. That's the ATNR.
Mm-hmm. So that helps to develop that hand-eye coordination. That's the first thing that it's working on, and then prepare them for crawling as well. So the next one, your infant gains control of their head, they're in tummy time, and they start lifting their arms and legs up off the ground, and it looks like they are flying. Some babies get frustrated with this, but it's actually the Landau primitive reflex starting to emerge, which is helpful for those postural reactions. And it provides that extensor pattern to help strengthen the posterior musculature.
FYI, we're not going in any particular order here.
Correct.
So just keep that in mind.
Correct, yes.
All right, when your baby starts rolling, they're rolling from back to tummy and tummy to back, and they're doing it, at first they do it on accident, right?
Yeah.
Most babies, their first couple of rolls are totally on accident. But once they start doing it more intentionally, that's actually a sign that the ATNR is integrating.
Sometimes when infants, like, you know, a couple days old or even like 2 months old are rolling by accident, but it can likely be like due to tension. They can be too tense and that's causing them to roll, but it's not a specific intention to roll. So I think that's important to remember. Yes. I remember when Trip was a couple days old, he was rolling and I was like, oh my gosh, he's rolling. And then I was like, wait, actually
it's too early.
He's so tight because his tongue is tied.
Yeah, it was way too early.
Yeah. Oh, we're always learning. It's a beautiful thing. Okay, the next one, your infant starts pushing themselves up onto their hands and knees, getting prepared for crawling. They might even start rocking or going into a down dog position, and this is the STNR at work. There's actually like an old wives' tale, if your child is doing a down dog, it means that you're pregnant.
actually what it means is their STNR is coming into play.
Yes, but sometimes that is the case, though. That was the case for me.
I was going to say, you had that happen, right? Yes.
Ooh.
All right, all right. What do you do with that? The next one, your baby starts bringing their hands to their mouth and starts grasping toys and bringing toys to their mouth. This is actually a combination of the rooting, suck, and palmar grasp reflexes working together.
Another one is your infant starts to intentionally grasp and release toys, which is their palmar grasp reflex starting to work.
And then when your baby starts crawling with good opposition of arms and legs, so they're on their hands and their knees, and they're crawling in that reciprocal pattern where their right arm and their left leg move, and then their left arm and their right leg move, they're getting that good opposition. This is actually a combination of the ATNR, STNR, and spinal gallant reflexes working and integrating together.
There are quite a few more, but these are the ones that we most commonly see retained. These are the most functional things that most parents will see. And these are things that we'll see children missing out on when they are struggling to hit their developmental milestones.
So, in infancy, what can you do to help your child meet developmental milestones while simultaneously integrating their primitive reflexes?
The first thing is to be sure to check out our full course. It's a huge course that dives into this topic. We give you specific activity ideas for reflexes, milestones. It's for infants and toddlers. We break it down there, but we're going to give you a little sneak peek here today and share five of our favorite activities that you can do with your infant, your baby, your toddler right now to help be sure that those reflexes get integrated.
The first one is to do tummy time on a therapy ball. This is probably one of my all-time favorite activities for kids of all ages, including infants from the very beginning. They can start doing tummy time on the ball. Of course, you're right there supporting them. This is a good one as your baby gets a little bit older to do in front of a mirror or in front of you, so you have that face-to-face interaction and connection. But getting that tummy time over the ball provides opportunities for more movement, for more range of motion, and it's just more fun.
I actually did this with Austin yesterday.
Yeah. I found a video of when I was babysitting for one of my friends a couple years ago.
Yes.
And I took some videos of doing tummy time over the ball with her. She was, oh my gosh, she was probably 4 months old, maybe. Yeah. And had like a little noise light up toy on the floor and just doing that tummy time. And she had that visual stimuli was lighting up when we pushed the buttons and she was laughing. It was just the cutest thing.
Oh, I love it.
I just found that video the other day.
Another one with the therapy ball is going upside down. So putting them on their back on the therapy ball, stabilizing them at their hips and helping them rock up and down on that therapy ball. And if you can put a mirror or a toy behind them to look at, that also helps them. But this is a great one for that motor reflex as well as their vestibular system, which both are connected. And it's important to work on both. But putting them upside down just in short bits, like maybe 5 times, and then sit them up, laugh, talk to them, play with them, flip them over, do their tummy time for, you know, 5 rotations forward and backwards on that therapy ball, like super short bursts at first. And then once they get a little bit older in toddlerhood, you can have them, you know, grab a toy as they're laying down over the therapy ball and then pull themselves up and maybe if it's a ball, throw it to a hoop. So you can incorporate more functional activities as they get older.
I think it's important to remember that for young infants, less is more. So like Rachel said, just a couple of rotations through, but also keep in mind that that position of being upside down, that inversion is very stimulating. It's very overwhelming. So when you're doing that with your infant, very slow, very, you know, keep it less is more.
Yes. But also I think that we're afraid to move our babies. Like, you think about babies in utero, they're upside down, they're in the amniotic fluid, they're moving, they're wiggling, we're moving, we're jumping, running, rocking with them in our bellies, and then out they come and they're on their backs 24/7. Like, babies are made to move, so we need to help them move. Okay.
Soapbox.
Next one. The next one is one of my favorite activities, and Austin is 5 months old right now, and she is prime age for this one. We just started doing it. We call it pivot play on the floor, and we put different tactile mediums in Ziploc bags. We tape them to the floor with some painter's tape and kind of in a circle around them, so that way she can start pivoting left and right, kind of exploring those different tactile activities. So that's a fun one. Even just putting some different things attached to a hula hoop and putting the baby in the middle of the hula hoop. So really working on pivoting left and right is a fun little game for infants. I guess not infants, babies, right?
What's the difference between an infant and a baby?
I feel like infant is like 3 months and below.
Oh, birth at three.
Yeah, like a baby is like 3 months to a year.
And then a toddler is a year to 1 to 3 years.
Yeah. Do you agree?
Yeah. I never really thought about the difference between an infant and a baby, but yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, the all next one.
All the things you're learning on this podcast that you didn't know you would.
That you didn't know you wanted to know.
Yeah.
The next one is crawling through a tunnel. So this is once your baby, not infant, your baby, has established and started to crawl. So once they're pushing up on their hands and their knees, break out that pop-up tunnel or create a tunnel using stools or chairs and a blanket. And this can be really fun to roll a ball back and forth before they're even crawling. Maybe they're just in that pre-crawling phase, supporting themselves on their hands and their knees, and you place them on one end of the tunnel, you go to the other end of the tunnel, and you play with them that way, play peekaboo, roll a ball to them, and as they begin to crawl, then you can start having them push the ball through the tunnel. When they're in the tunnel, if it's a pop-up tunnel, it's kind of fun because you can kind of like shake it and make some fun visual and auditory stimuli with the tunnel. But crawling through a tunnel is great even once your child has started walking, because that crawling on hands and knees is so, so important for strengthening the core and the shoulder and the neck muscles, for developing the hand and upper body strength for fine motor activities. And then, of course, it integrates those primitive reflexes. So we are big proponents of crawling. Build tunnels. They're motivating.
Yeah. Okay, the next one is doing snow angels on the floor. So for babies or infants, you can help them move their arms and legs. Sometimes it's easier if you have two people, one person moving their legs, one person moving their arms. Again, don't force it. Follow what's comfortable for them. But for toddlers, you can have them lay on their back on the ground and do those snow angels. Try having them move their arms and their legs simultaneously. Try having them move just their left side, just their right side. And then if you want to get really tricky, have them move their right arm and their left leg, and then their left arm and their right leg.
Keep in mind that at this age, this really young age, our kiddos, our toddlers are just barely learning this coordination of both sides of the body. So we don't want to expect them to know right versus left yet. What? We don't want
are
them.
Are you sure? No,
I think so. I'm pretty sure. We don't want to expect them to be able to, you know, do opposite arm and leg movements completely independently. These are activities that you are going to be actively involved with them and helping them and laughing and giggling and doing it with them so that it's fun and motivating and there's no expectation of perfection.
I'm just kidding.
With anything ever.
I was thinking even we have these little jingle bell bracelets, putting those on the opposite arms and legs, or just the arms or just the legs, just to increase that awareness of their body.
Oh, that would be super fun.
Yeah. Yes. So fun things like that. Then go outside in the snow and do snow angels in the snow. Or if you have, you know, different textured blankets, have them do snow angels on different textures, have them do snow angels while they're naked or while they're in their diaper on the different surfaces.
What about in like a sandbox?
Ooh, yeah.
Or at the playground, if the playground is covered in like bark, they could do the snow angels in the bark.
Ooh.
And get some real good tactile input.
I won't be mad if you guys don't take that suggestion.
And take videos and show us.
I was thinking, you know, those pinto beans for sensory bins, lay that out on the floor and have them do snow angels in that.
That'd be interesting.
I would prefer doing that personally.
I would prefer the bark or the sand over the pinto beans.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like the pinto beans would be uncomfortable.
Oh.
Because they're bigger.
Different sensory needs. Look at us here.
All right. Last one.
Wrap it up.
Last one is doing hands to toes rocking in supine. Let me break this down for you. Supine means laying on your back. So your infant, your baby, or your toddler, your child is going to be laying on their back. And you are going to help them bring their hands to their toes and rock them side to side. Now, this is a slow and controlled, not fast, just nice and easy, and maybe sing a song, laugh and giggle, do some tickles in between. But getting that rocking back and forth with their hands to their toes is a great rotational activity.
Make sure that their head is moving with their arms and legs. So as you're holding their hands and toes together, make sure that their head and their eyes are also following. So they're getting that motion as well.
Now, once they get a little bit older, you can actually work on separating those two, however.
Oh, totally, yes.
So, you know, for the infants and babies, you definitely want that head movement with the body. But then once they're a little bit older, they can start to separate the head from the arms and the legs.
Okay, so that was our five strategies, our five activities for you to try. Just a quick note on primitive reflexes. When these reflexes remain active, they reduce the brain's ability to complete higher level learning patterns. So babies, children, adults, whoever you are, whoever they are, they remain in that fight or flight mode and everything later on is impacted. So we can help these children by integrating these reflexes and their overall ability to participate in daily occupations will be improved.
Now, keep in mind that primitive reflexes are meant to integrate into higher level movement and cognitive patterns. So as long as you are doing things with your baby, getting a lot of... oh my gosh, that sounds weird. You know what I mean. Making sure your baby's getting lots of floor time, lots of active movement.
Lots of love.
Lots of love. You're playing, you're interacting, you're going out to the playground, swinging, jumping, running, climbing, crawling, all of the things that our bodies are meant to do. The chances of those primitive reflexes integrating are higher than if your baby or toddler is more sedentary.
And if they're in containers all day, every day. But again, some of these things are out of your control, like the birth process, stress during pregnancy, things like that that we really can't control. But in a perfect world, you have to have a C-section and the doctors...
In a perfect world?
I'm not done yet.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
In a perfect world, let's say you have to have a C-section and the doctor comes in and says, hey, here's some things to be aware of as your child grows, primitive reflexes, you know, because oftentimes these reflexes are kickstarted into integration by the birth process. So when they don't go through the natural process, when interventions are impacting the natural birth process, that's okay. We just need to be aware of these things. So we need to be aware that these reflexes need to be integrated or they're even a thing. So that way parents can say, hey, I need to take this course. I need to learn about it or just read a book about it. So there's so much learning that needs to happen. Hopefully we can start that.
We are going to link a whole bunch of things in the show notes, more resources, some research articles for you to dive into to continue learning. And let us know if you liked this episode.
Yeah, it's a good one. We love primitive reflexes. We're here for it. Take a screenshot, share it on social media. We are at All Things Sensory Podcast. And we're going to be back next week with another episode.
All right, we'll see you then.
Thank you so much for listening to All Things Sensory by Harkla.
If you want more information on anything mentioned in the show, head over to harkla.co/podcast to get the show notes.
If you have any follow-up questions, the best place to ask those is in the comments on the show notes or message us on our Instagram account, which is at harkla_family or at All Things Sensory Podcast. If you just search Harkla, you'll find us there.
Like we mentioned before, our podcast listeners get 10% off their first order at Harkla. Whether it's for one of our digital courses or one of our sensory swings, the discount code SENSORY will get you 10% off. That's SENSORY.
Head to harkla.co/sensory to use that discount code right now.
We are so excited to work together to help create confident kids all over the world. While we make every effort to share correct information, we're still learning.
We will double check all of our facts, but realize that medicine is a constantly changing science and art.
One doctor or therapist may have a different way of doing things from another.
We are simply presenting our views and opinions on how to address common sensory challenges, health-related difficulties, and what we have found to be beneficial that will be as evidence-based as possible.
By listening to this podcast, you agree not to use this podcast as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or your child.
Consult your child's pediatrician or therapist for any medical issues that he or she may be having.
This entire disclaimer also applies to any guests or contributors to the podcast.
Thanks so much for listening.